and unemployment totals coming out, John?
Yeah, we got those this morning, and they were surprisingly good. It's kind of hard to sort all this out. On Friday, we got some very disappointing numbers from the government, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics in terms of non-farm payrolls. And, you know, weather's affecting all of this, and we certainly understand that in our listening area. But this morning, we got below the 400,000 number, which is kind of impressive. That is people filing for unemployment benefits for the first time last week, 383,000. That's down 36,000 from the previous week. And we've been ratcheting down for several months, finally got below, consistently below the 500,000 number. Now we're below the $400,000 number. The market doesn't seem to be impressed with that. Dow futures were down about 48 points when it was announced. They dropped, they rallied a little bit, but not much. Market seems to be concerned about other things, some disappointing numbers from Cisco and some other places late yesterday. Also disappointed that the Bank of England chose not to raise interest rates. But it was interesting. Mr. Bernanke, the chairman of the Fed, of course, was testifying before Congress yesterday, and first time since the Republicans have taken control of those committees, and some of his comments were really pretty interesting. He pointed out that they were beating him up about QE2, quantitative easing 2, the $600 billion that the Fed is spending to buy Treasury securities, but he pointed out that that's far less than the multi-trillion dollar deficits that they're running. This year is probably going to be about $1.5 trillion, and chided them and reminded them that they had to do something about the deficit spending. We'll see whether they hear that or not. But it was kind of also interesting that he made the comment that inflation in the U.S. remains, quote, very, very low. He pointed out that the inflation numbers everyone's talking about are happening in those emerging markets. But to tie that into a number that we had this morning, for example, Pepsi this morning actually lowered their full-year earnings growth forecast, to about 7 to 8% this year. That's the second time that they've lowered it. And in both cases, what they did was they pointed out higher commodity costs, and we keep hearing that over and over again. So even though their numbers may show inflation is not a problem in the U.S., of course, inflation is one of those things that gets embedded in the cost of everything. We'll see what really happens there. But I think one of the most interesting things that I've seen, and it kind of reminds me of what happened in the late 90s, that it created the technology bubble, and I hope we're not going there again. But everybody knows who Twitter is, of course, and Twitter is a privately held company, as Facebook is. But Twitter acknowledged that they had some low-level talks with both Facebook and Google about a potential merger. They say the talks went nowhere. What's interesting is what we can extrapolate from those talks, because Twitter raised $200 million in December in a private equity deal that gave us an implied value of Twitter of $3.7 billion. Now, here's what's absurd about that. It wasn't until about the middle of 2010 that Twitter found a way to actually generate advertising revenue by letting advertisers advertise on Twitter. And they only did $45 million in advertising revenue last year. They think they're going to do $150 million this year, but for an implied value in December of $3.7 billion. But if you extrapolate the numbers they were talking about in these low-level talks with Facebook and Google, it gives you an implied value of $8 to $10 billion for Twitter. And this is a company that might generate $150 million in advertising revenue this year. Seems kind of nuts to me, Bill.
Well, it does. And in some of this that you're bringing up, this inflation thing, the Democrat Gazette has a headline, corn stockpile at a 15-year low, partly because of ethanol being used to make fuel. Food prices bound to go up.
Well, that's true. And I'm sure, of course, that since much of the research shows that ethanol is really not a solution to our energy problem and is causing food inflation, I'm sure our push towards continuing to subsidize ethanol when we have this huge budget deficit has nothing to do with the Iowa caucus that's coming up in just about 14 months.
I hadn't thought of that, John. That's why I talk to you every morning. Thank you.
I'm an entrenched cynic.
There you are. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Bill.
He's the guy who looks at it with a jaundiced eye, wants to be sure what the reason is.